When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To save his life,
call his wife and hey, 406 McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. Got you for one more hour until the warm-up show at 5. Talking baseball, mainly the lousy Yankees, the disastrous series that was the Boston Red Sox series this weekend, as well as the disaster that was getting swept by the Cincinnati Reds at home, and more importantly, the way they're playing, whether it's the laziness of Grisham out in the outfield, lollygagging a ground ball single that he turned into a double, whether it's DJ LeMahieu not getting out of the box. And then Friday night, I absolutely lost my mind. DJ LeMahieu and Anthony Volpe, we went through the play a bunch. I don't have to go through the whole thing, but just stupidity cost the Yankees a run. Veterans should know to get into a rundown with first and third on a ground ball to first, and the runner knows he has to score before the tag is made. And both of those things didn't happen. And it's getting to the point where even I, who's been on Boone's side, who's defended Boone against a lot of people calling me on my show, telling me what a bum he is, how terrible he is, he's been awful since the minute he took the job, all that stuff, blah, 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 blah. Even I have to admit, I don't know if criticizing the players publicly is the answer. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm willing to try that, and I'm willing to try anything, because Aaron Boone right now can't seem to stop the slide, and they don't seem to respect the game. Like, it's just that simple. They've been so freaking bad. Losing's one thing. The Yankees have lost before. Six and 16 is brutally bad. 10 games under 500 for a 22-game stretch with a team that was, or did, have the best record in all of baseball or point a mere few weeks ago is disgusting, is a disaster, but it's the way they've played more than the losing. It's the laziness. It's the not running the balls out. It's the not having your head in the game. And it doesn't seem to change because it's not the first time. It's not the first year. And I don't care so much about walking, you know, individual moves in a game. I don't think that's Boone's problem. He makes poor decisions. Now and then, every manager does. I don't think that's where the issue is right now. I don't care. Honestly, you might think it's criminal to walk Devers. You feel that way after the home run? Sure. I don't like putting on the tying run in the seventh inning. Call me crazy. I know Devers is the only one who could beat them. Sure, okay, only Devers. Okay. I mean, Rafael, the nine hitter, hit a bomb for a home run, but only Devers. Not putting the tie and run on. But you want to walk him? Fine. We could quibble about that up and down. It doesn't matter. That's not the problem. The problem is the team looks like they're not ready to play. And more than that, it looks like they're moping. And look, the body language is awful. Whether it's from Carlos Rodon, right? You got Carlos Rodon screaming at the manager, moping, screaming at his first baseman for letting a ball, you know, dribble down the first baseline, hitting the bag against Toronto. Whether it's crying in the dugout, moping, you know, giving a press conference where he's just sad. And then you got Stroman screaming. You got Gleyber Torres hanging his head when he's benched for two games, staring off into space. You got DJ LeMahieu moping around, not knowing what the hell's going on. Anthony Volpe hanging his head, not paying attention and hustling. I mean, guys, veterans and hustle guys like DJ LeMahieu and Anthony Volpe aren't doing it. It's hard to watch right now as they've lost 6 of 16. They have the worst ERA in baseball during that time. That's obviously the worst record during that time. They now have gone 20 games without a stolen base. Throw that on top. I'm not sure what that means necessarily, other than it's bizarre. And, you know, I don't know. They've been down by 5 runs every inning of this freaking month stretch. How many stolen bases you want them to attempt? Just ugly baseball all the way around. And the Mets, it's quite opposite. Give me a call, Mets fans. Let me hear some joy this morning, 888-808-1019, because, okay, you would have liked to have gotten one of the last two against Washington to win that series. You didn't. You got pounded, and Severino got pounded the first game against Pittsburgh. 7 home runs. Everyone's making fireworks jokes. I get it. Frustrating. But the last two games have shown you the resolve of this Met team, and particularly the ninth inning yesterday was just a clinic on how to fight and how to claw and how to battle, and just great at-bats, especially from Iglesias, who's been an absolute godsend to this team, who has warranted the right to play every single day. And then, of course, you get Lindor to come through with the big hit that wins the game, and how he's not an all-star and Pete Alonso is mind-numbing to me. Because if you've watched the Mets this year at all, Pete Alonso, while not having a horrible, horrendous, disgusting season, is hitting .243 with an OPS under 800. He's not nearly the player that Lindor is right now, or Nimmo, quite honestly. Or Vientos. But the idea that the one all-star is Pete Alonso screams to me of, we want him in the all-star game, and we want him in the home run derby. Now, I know he would do it anyway, so I don't know why you'd have to put him on the all-star team. But, like, he's just not an all-star, and that's not knocking Pete. He's a great player who I think the Mets should pay and keep around. But, I mean, Francisco Lindor, since May, has been the heart and soul of the team. Since he called that meeting, he's the leader of the team. And he's come through in every big spot. He starts off every game with a damn hit. I mean, his on-base percentage, the first at-bat of the game, is through the roof. He's damn near .500. He's starting off the games great. He's coming through with big hits late. He's playing a Gold Glove caliber shortstop. To me, the best player on this team is Francisco Lindor. And he should be an all-star. I don't get hung up on it. I know fans do. So, yes, the idea that Pete Alonso is the one member of the all-star team is pretty absurd. I mean, you could make a case for Severino, I suppose, but you could certainly make a case for Lindor. And for the Yankees, the laugher is obviously Clay Holmes is an all-star along with the two starters in the outfield, Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. And while I'll still tell you Clay Holmes is not the major problem with this team, he's been in a pretty extended slump, and it's an issue when he's giving up home runs to guys with two home runs, and that game Friday night just absolutely drove me absolutely batty. He was one strike away from just solving the problems of that night, putting that disgusting display of baseball behind them, taking the first game of a Red Sox series, and trying to move forward. And instead, he can't get the final out. Dom Smith gets him with a base hit. And then he gives up a home run to Yoshida, who's had two home runs all year. To a pitcher who doesn't give up home runs. Who's an all-star. The Yankees are a joke. The Mets continue to play well. All is right with the world, right? 888-808-1019. For some of us, it is. Cisco in the Bronx. What's up, Cisco?
What's going on, T-Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
They're horrible. There's absolutely no hope, man. I was there on Friday night, and let me tell you something. It's sickening to watch this team every day. And every time I look at my phone, I cringe to see what the situation is going to be. I was there on Friday night, and it was a ghost town. That guy cannot be an all-star.
Well, when was it a ghost town? It wasn't a ghost town in the...
Well, after that home run let out, it was... Forget about it.
Well, of course.
You know, everybody went down there almost crying.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are games, if you are going to be a closer, right? And I've defended him, and I still will on some level. I don't think you need to be a strikeout pitcher. I think a sinker is one of the best pitches in baseball when it's on. And I think he's more than capable. He puts a lot of guys on. He has put guys on base this year. No, he definitely has this year. He definitely has. And it's mainly with hits. He hasn't really been that wild. But I still think he's okay. I don't think he's a major problem right now. I don't think you have to go and get a closer. I think I still feel that way. But there are games you cannot blow. There are games if you are going to be a closer for a team, if you're going to be an all-star closer, you have got to step up. There are certain games you cannot lose. With a two-run lead in that game, the way they've been playing, you can't give up that home run. You can't give up that home run. It's a disaster. Yeah.
So today with Devers.
Yes.
Now I agree with you. You don't have to walk him.
No.
But this guy's more comfortable in Yankee Stadium than Judge at bat.
Okay.
He what You can't, you know, you don't have to walk them, but you could pitch around them or throw high and in, making them comfortable, something.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he's a great player who's comfortable in Yankee Stadium. He talked about hitting, how much he loved hitting at the stadium. Listen, I get it. You want to hit, you want to just hit him for being good? Okay, make him uncomfortable, sure. I'm in. I don't believe in putting the go-ahead run on. I don't feel like giving them that base runner. I understand he's killed them. I get it. Don't throw an 0-2 fastball down the middle. I'm sure they talked about being careful to him. He threw an 0-2 fastball right down the middle, and he actually beat Devers on it, and Devers still had enough to get it out to left field. But give me a call. I'm not walking him. Not in that spot. He's not Barry Bonds. He's not Aaron Judge. I know he's killed the Yankees. I get it. He's not they've scored some runs. They've won 15 or 20. He's not the only guy who can beat you. The nine hitter hit him for, took him out deep as well. Took Weaver deep. They were pitching great. Luis Gil was great. That, like, a lot of people say you have to take out Luis Gil. No, you don't. You could. You don't have to. Why? And if you did and brought in Weaver, everyone's going to be going, oh, great job, Boone. You took out Gil for Weaver. What are you going to do? You got beat. Everybody be killing Boone. How could you take Luis Gil out? He hadn't given up a run. Blah, 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 blah. Sometimes the great player just beats you. I'm not walking him. I'm sorry. I'm not. He got ahead. He should have thrown a ball in the dirt. He should have thrown a changeup away. Should not have thrown a fastball right down the middle on a 1-2 count. He made a mistake. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good morning. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, you know, the Yankees, I don't know, they're just like, I love them, but, you know, they're scaring me. They're really scaring me, you know. Gil finally had a bounce back good start. I mean, it's been, what, 3-4 starts, the bad ones. I mean, that was good for him, but yeah. I definitely agree with you. Boone took him out way too early. And Clay Holmes, I mean,
Boone took him out.
I look at his numbers. I mean, yes, he's an all-star, but the last month, oh my God! What the heck is going on?
Correct.
Here?
No, he's been bad for a month. I'm surprised he was an all-star considering how bad he's been for the last month. But no, Boone didn't take him out too early. He gives up the home run. That's it. He threw 98 pitches. Like, that's it. He was going to let him try and get through that inning because he'd earned it. We always talk about taking the guy out too early. Now all of a sudden, because he gave up a home run, it was a mistake. Everything's a mistake. Whenever runs are scored, Boone made a mistake. I get it. I'm not concerned about that. Really, I'm not. The reason I'm pissed off at Boone isn't because he didn't walk Devers. It's not because he brought in Weaver. It's not because he did this or did that. The team is a bunch of crybabies. And they're mopers and they're lazy and the body language sucks and they're making easy mistakes. Like, DJ LeMahieu is a veteran. You want to say calling him out publicly is going to make a difference? You don't think DJ LeMahieu is beating the hell out of himself right now? You don't think DJ LeMahieu is furious with himself for what's been going on? You don't think he left after that night and he ran into that double play instead of waiting and to make sure the run scored? Now, the run should have scored anyway because Volpe's lackadaisically just walking home, which is the second part of that play that drives you absolutely nuts. But they know better. You think they don't go over that stuff? You think hustle is something that the manager has to, like, go over and over and over again? Like, there is some self-responsibility here. But having said that, it's too much of a frequency for me to just dismiss Boone's presence in the locker room being an issue. I can't dismiss it anymore. I'd like to. I can't. Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Man. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Just talking about people killing teams. I mean, just ask the Mets what they think of Jesse Winker. I mean, you know, right. That was a 1-0 game.
I mean, yeah, should you walk Winker?
Threw it right down the middle.
Do you have to put Winker on base? Now, obviously, Devers is far better than Winker. But I'm just, I can't treat him like Barry Bonds and put the go-ahead run on base. I can't do that. I can't. Anything could happen. Look at the way this team has played defensively. Like anything could happen. I'm putting runners on now, because I'm afraid he's going to hit a home run. I mean, he doesn't have 60 home runs. He's not Aaron Judge. He's not Barry Bonds. Like I can't do it.
Right. Look, I obviously, you know, Lindor is, you know, heated up quite a bit, which is good. I mean, it drives me all sorts of crazy about how slow he gets off every season, but. you know, obviously he's turned it on. But yeah. I'll tell you one thing, you definitely got to give credit to the fact that, you know, getting Iglesias and Torrens on this team, I think, really helped turn them in the right direction.
Yep.
And I know everyone talks about the, you know, the song that he put out, but
no,
they've really made
that.
A difference.
No, he's made an enormous difference. And you mentioned Torrens, you know, that's a good example too, and thank you for the call, Eric. Because, you know, Tomas Nito had been here for a while. And Tomas Nito wasn't absolutely dreadful this year. He's been dreadful at the plate in other years. He wasn't exactly killing it. But that was a pitcher who knows the team, knows the pitchers, knows the staff. They know he's a good defensive catcher. And they could have easily, that's another example of just letting, you know, Torrens came here and was just better. That's it. Tomas Nito had built up some equity inside the organization. He's been a good defensive catcher. A lot of organizations, and I'll even say this, like Brian Cashman, they might not be so quick to say, hey, look, we'll get rid of Tomas Nito. We've got, you know, Torrens here. He's been better. I mean, he's been a good move, and to keep him was a good move. Tim in Hicksville, what's up?
How you doing, buddy? Good morning.
I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
Good. No, I agree with you. You know, watching Lindor every day, even though he has 8 errors this year, he's tremendously defensively. Defensively, yeah. He's tremendous.
He's got great range, got a great arm.
Yeah, he really deserves it. But I just think nationally, when it comes to them, like you were mentioning Holmes, them picking it, they've always been kind of clueless. But I just wanted to just kind of say what you were saying, that just watching Lindor every day, kind of you realize he's been the best Met, best player this year.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt he's been the best Met. He's really bounced back after a terrible start and everybody killing him. It's been that meeting. Because, I didn't necessarily view him as the team leader. I knew he was their best overall player. I knew he was making the most money. And I certainly don't know if I view Pete Alonso as a leader. So maybe even just by default, I viewed Lindor as a leader. But that meeting, and his willingness to speak on the meeting, and everybody giving him the nod for being the one who called the meeting, and then immediately stepping up his play, immediately. That's what leaders do. And he has more than ever taken on the role of leadership with this team. And since moving him to the leadoff spot, I mean, he's been incredible. And he's come through in almost every big situation. And this is what was lacking last year. Like, this is why they had the June swoon last year, and he was never there for it. He didn't step up. He ended up having a good year, but it felt like a little bit too late. This year, he's been able to, you know, get it going in May, and I don't know why he gets off the slow starts. He has, historically, with the Mets at least. But he's been absolutely killing it. And the idea, not that I don't know how Met fans feel about it. You can give me a call up and let me know, 888-808-1019. But for me, yeah, it's ridiculous that Pete Alonso is heading to the All-Star game and Francisco Lindor is not. It makes absolutely no sense. Pete Alonso has not had an All-Star type season. He just hasn't in any way, shape, or form. Now, I know the Polar Bear likes hitting his dingers, and they're going to put him in the Home Run Derby, and God bless him. I hope he wins again. But he does not deserve to be an All-Star. Not over Lindor. I don't know how you could even make the case, quite honestly. It's a very difficult case to make. And again, as a Yankee fan, Clay Holmes should not be an All-Star. I've defended Clay Holmes. I still think he's capable. I don't think the Yankees have to go out and find a closer necessarily. I think they just got to go out and find good bullpen arms. And I still think Clay Holmes can be the closer for this team, but I can't argue with what he's done for the last month. I mean, since that game against Kansas City, he's been bad. He's been bad along with every other stinking Yankee. So if the All-Star game floats your boat, between the two teams, there are 4 representatives, and half of them don't belong there. So that's a good thing. I feel really good about that.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So, you know, I had a streak going that I took very seriously, and I would brag about it to people. I actually bragged about this, believe it or not. I had a streak going. In my life, I've said this for years, there were three things that never happened to me, and I'm down to one. I had three things being open with you right now. This is me and you on a personal level. I had three things that had never happened to me in my life. I had never broken a bone. I had never had a cavity, and I've never been stung by a bee. Last year, I got my first cavity, hate to inform you, and yesterday, I got stung four times. And it hurt. I've never been stung by a bee in my life. I was watering the garden out back, and I have one of those like plastic covers of the hose with the handle, and you keep the hose in there, and you're like, you pull the hose in by pulling the handle, and it spins on the inside, and it's just like a nice little square little thing that hides the hose. So I was trying to I'm trying to wheel up the hose, and it kind of gets like jammed a little bit, and sometimes you got to pick it up and move the hose because it gets off the wheel on the outside of the wheel, and you got to push it in. And I lifted up the hose and stuck my hand in there, and I guess I haven't looked at it since. I'm going to have to take care of it today, I guess. But I put my hand in there and, like, moved the hose a little bit, and there must have been, like, a hornet's nest or something building at the bottom of this thing, because five hornets just came flying into my face, and they stung me twice on this hand and three times on this hand. And they were all over me. I was running. My kids were laughing at me. I was like Chris Farley when he gets pulled over. Bees! Your weapons are useless against them. I've never been stung. I got stung four or five times today. I'm very disappointed. Now all I have left is I never broke a bone. That's it. It's the only thing I have. You have so little things in life. You know, I'm not in great shape, I'm not overly attractive. I mean, I think I have a good singing voice, but honestly, probably not. I love talking to you guys. My kids are cool, but really, what do I have? I had this. I had never stung by a bee. It's gone. It's gone. It hurt a lot. I still got the broken bone thing, though. Holding on to it for dear life. I'm going to walk around bubble wrapped. That's all I got left. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Mr. Monagle.
Yes, sir.
You're seriously not worried about the Yankees? I mean, they're not kidding.
Oh, no. I mean, have you listened to the show? I mean, I'm not in panic mode where I think the season is over and they've hit a point of no return and this is what they're going to be from now on the rest of the year. But no, I mean, I'm concerned on many levels. I mean, I think they're going to have to go and prove the team at the deadline. And I honestly don't know what Boone has to do or whether Boone's the right guy. For the first time, I'm starting to think that, because what we've seen here, again, something inside me snapped on Friday night. I drew the analogy of the Grinch when he hears that the Who's down in Whoville still sing, despite having no presence and despite having no roast beast. His heart grows three times its size. The opposite effect happened to me watching Volpe not score on Friday night. Something just like, you ever see something about, me, myself, and Irene, or whatever that Jim Carrey movie is, where he's taken enough and he can't take anymore, and suddenly, and he just snaps? That was me on Friday night. Something inside me broke watching DJ LeMahieu run into that out, and instead of stopping and making the second baseman come and get him to give Volpe time to score, and Volpe not running hard, something broke inside me. And I'm not sure if it's going to fix, but I can't watch this team play like this. Losing is one thing. I can handle losing. It's 162. They're going to lose some games. Yes, it's a really bad stretch. I wouldn't have expected to go 6-16 after the way they played in the first 2 months of the year, but I can handle losing. What I can't handle is watching Grisham, who's a role player, who should be busting his ass for playing time, lollygag and a base hit up the middle. What I can't take is young Anthony Volpe, who's completely fallen off, has an OPS under 7 after we all deemed him the superstar we dreamt him to be after a month of playing good baseball to start the year, is no longer the leadoff hitter, has fallen out of good graces, who turns every breaking ball on the outside corner into a guaranteed ground ball to short, doesn't have it in him to hustle and run it out. Like, that's when I start losing it. I'm starting to lose it. And the fact that the manager's kept it so together and hasn't lost it publicly is starting to worry me, even though I'm not sure what that would do. But we need to see something change. But no, having said all that, I'm not destined to the idea that they're bound to fail.
I usually don't talk about the Yankees, but isn't it maybe an illusion to think that Ben Wright is the best thing since sliced bread? I mean, you've certainly had experience with other phenom first basemen who burned out.
Any Yankee fan, thank you for the call. He hit 3 home runs. He's got a nice swing. He's put good at-bats together, which is more than we can say about everybody this side of Judge and Soto. So right now, we're all thrilled with him, and rightfully so. And he should be in the lineup every day. I don't care if it's lefty or righty. I prefer him hitting cleanup and move Soto to first, but to lead off. That's what I would do. I've already told you that. I would lead off Soto. I would put either Glaber or Verdugo second, and then Judge third. I would break the two of them up, and I would create a get-right spot in the middle of that, between the two of them, and hope I got someone like him or even LeMahieu. I know it's crazy, and I wouldn't do it for long, but if I'm going to play LeMahieu anyway, maybe put him there and get him nothing but fastballs. Put Glaber there and get him nothing but fastballs. Put Verdugo there between those two great hitters and get him nothing but fastballs. I want to do that, and then for the protection, I'll take Rice hitting fourth behind Judge. But he's got to play every day, and yeah. Oh, we've seen it. Going back to Kevin Moss. Kevin Moss. Shane Spencer. I mean, there's plenty of guys who've just flashed and never been the next great player. I don't expect him to be the next great player, but right now they need him. Right now I'd settle for him being the next great player for another 2 months. That'd be all I need from Ben Rice. We'll worry about next year. David and Edison, what's up, Dave?
Yeah, the reason I think the Yankees are struggling is because of guys like Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu. I know they're good hitters, but the last couple of years, their hitting's fallen off.
Well, I mean,
they haven't been consistent like they were a couple of years ago. I know Torres was really good like 3 or 4 years ago, and so was LeMahieu. But after the last couple of years, their hitting hasn't been the same.
You're right about one of them. You're wrong about the other one. Gleyber Torres had one of his best years of his career last year. He was the Yankees' best hitter. He had an OPS over 800, and he hit 25.
You're probably right. The thing is, I'm a Mets fan, but I do watch.
All right, well, then I don't know what to tell you. Just listen to me, then. Here's what I'll tell you about Gleyber Torres. He's had a miserable year. Last year he was great. Last year he was really good. He was their best, most consistent hitter when Judge was down for most of the year. It was Gleyber Torres. That's who they leaned on. He was one of the 2 or 3 best offensive second baseman in the sport last year. He had an 800 OPS and he hit 25 home runs and drove in 80 runs. He was great last year. This year he's been terrible. DJ LeMahieu, you are right. It has been a slow decline to nowhere. Now, he did have a resilient second half last year, and I knew the foot injury was going to be a major problem because we've seen him deal with the foot injury before. He sucks. He can't deal with an injury at this point in his career. He just can't. And I don't know how he's feeling. I don't know how that foot feels. The Yankees say that they're convinced he's healing. And again, they're playing him for two reasons. One, he's making $15 million this year. And two, they believe if they can get him going, that is the best impact they can have. He's a bigger impact bat than Oswaldo Cabrera. He is more meaningful and impactful than anybody else they could probably get at the trade deadline or that could anyone that they have currently could turn into. The getting the best of DJ LeMahieu is the best thing that could happen to the New York Yankees. So as of right now, where they are still 18 games over 500, they are still in a playoff spot, I think they're going to continue to try and see if they can find that DJ LeMahieu. But it's getting to the point where you can't do it anymore. And you certainly, if you're DJ LeMahieu, can't not run out of the box and not hustle and not realize you can't run into the out on the base path. Like, it's just, this is DJ LeMahieu. He's a veteran. He's a two-time batting champion on both sides of the leagues. Like, this is not a guy who needs to be told this stuff. What the hell is going on with this team? It's more than just losing.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
You know, I've actually killed the show House of Dragons on HBO, the prequel to Game of Thrones. And I've been watching it. Last year, I thought it was great. The first couple episodes of this season were brutal. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch last night's episode. Finally, a terrific episode of television. Need it. I needed something. As I told you, Friday night was as depressing a night as I've had in my entire life. I promised my wife we would watch a movie because I dominate the television. I had gotten some sleep over the couple of days not having to work, so I knew I would be able to stay up a little bit. So I said, sure, let's watch a movie. After the movie, I will watch the Yankee game. So we watched The Iron Claw, which is that wrestling movie with Zac Efron. It is it's just a terrible story. I mean, it's a story of these brothers. They love each other. They all wrestle together. And each one by one gets taken down by their demons, like, until one brother is left. It's the most depressing, sad, horrible movie I've ever seen. And then I followed it up with the most disgusting, ugly. I mean, that's probably part of it, too, because then I watched that play after that movie, and I lost it. I honestly did. I couldn't stop. I almost pulled a Frank the Tank where I was like eating my shirt. I was so mad. I was just pulling on my shirt. I couldn't believe what I was watching. So I needed some good television last night just to get me out of the funk. I've been in a funk watching this terrible baseball team. Last night I watched another disgusting display of offense. Devers, you know, circling the bases, beating the Yankees yet again. And then I got to see some Dragons go to war. It was much needed, quite honestly. It was much needed. I needed to see those Dragons actually do something instead of just, you know, being background pieces. Do something! And they did. It was a good episode. If you're a fan of the show, I don't want to spoil it for you, but check it out. Tony in Staten Island. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good morning. I agree. This Yankee team makes me sick, and when they get behind, you could pretty much shut the game off. But I know I called last year a lot. I'm an Aaron Boone hater. I know there's lovers and haters.
Sure.
This team cannot get out of the malaise because they have a manager who's in a malaise. If I have to watch this man sit there, you just have some great ideas to change up the lineup. You think Boone is going to do it? Absolutely not.
He did.
He moved Volpe, but it was too late, basically.
I know. Yeah, it's too late. No. He moved Volpe, put Ben Rice up. He moved the guys. I mean, he didn't do it exactly
what
I would have done.
Hindsight is 20/20. I get it. Hindsight is 20/20, but he's got the anti-Midas touch. I know the Yankees started the year great. It's very easy to manage a winning team. Yeah. This is the core principle of a manager. How do you pull a team out of the malaise?
Don't disagree. I just think it's a little casual. So when they're going great, he has nothing to do with it. He's just not a dope enough. He's just equipped enough to go along for the ride.
When teams are winning, the manager doesn't have to do much. You're right out the lineup card. They're winning. It's when adversity hits a team.
Right.
What a manager try to do to get them out of the malaise. This team doesn't run the bases well. Mm-hmm. The other day, they bud somebody over to third base with one out. Everybody and their grandmother knew the Yankees weren't going to score there. How many times have we seen the playbook? They don't hit with runners in scoring position. This team just doesn't do anything functionally right when things are going wrong because they have a manager who just runs out almost the same lineup. They always the same players. Never mind. How many times am I going to watch Grisham play in center field? How many times? We have nothing in the minor leagues. This team is a disgrace, and I don't know if they'll make the playoffs.
They have Jason Dominguez. He's hurt. How many guys do you think ever had to step up in the major leagues?
We got one player in our entire system that we can bring up and maybe spark this team like a Ben Weiss.
Ben. How many guys do you want? The Mets have a guy go down. They bring up Ben Gamel. What do you think? Every team just has a plethora of outfielders?
They don't even bring up managers. Look at Mendoza, the job he's doing. Look at the job Rob Thompson did. We're stuck with Aaron freaking Boone.
Yeah, listen, right now, it's hard for me to argue with you right now because I'm down on him too. I mean, I think it's very formulaic, right? When they're playing well, he has nothing to do with it. When they're losing, it's his fault. You just mentioned all the players he has. Those are the players he has. He doesn't have an opportunity to play an outfielder from the minor leagues. That's not his call. He's got to deal with the play, and it's an opportunity to give Judge some time off. Instead of running around center field, they're giving him some time to DH. Grisham's playing. Grisham's on the team. Grisham had a 900 OPS for about a three-week stretch. He's back to struggling, and he lackadaisically played a ball. I would have benched his ass. Boone didn't. Fair. Totally fair. And I completely agree with you. Part of a manager's job is to get this team in the right frame of mind to get out of the malaise. And he has failed at it miserably. Totally agree. Totally agree. I think we go too far when we start yelling about everything he's done and he has the Midas touch. I mean, you make it sound like they've been a terrible team. They haven't won in the postseason, fair, but they've won 100 games how many times? Like, how could a GM be the worst GM in baseball who's done nothing? The only winning he's ever had is when Gene Stickmichael built the team. Brian Cashman's a dope who has no idea what he's doing. And Boone has the opposite Midas touch. Yet they win 100 games and win a division and are in the ALCS every other year. Something's got to give. Somebody's doing a halfway decent job. Either the players are good enough to overcome the terrible manager, or the manager has done a fairly good job with the miserable roster he's been given. You pick one, but you can't tell me both. You can't tell me both. Not completely. Right now, fine. Yes, both. They've been so terrible, I can't argue with you. And you're 100% right. They are in a malaise, and Boone has no answers for it. None. But he hasn't stayed stagnant with the lineup. He changed the lineup. When Torres was terrible, he moved Volpe up to the leadoff spot when a lot of people didn't think he was going to do that. Now Volpe's been bad. He put Ben Rice in the leadoff spot. He had three home runs the other day. He moved Verdugo to cleanup earlier in the year. The offense got sparked. He hasn't been sitting stagnant at all. Now, does he play Trevino too much? Yes. Are they trying to get LeMahieu going at the detriment of the team? Yes. Yes. Is he a wonderful, great manager where everything he does is great? No. He makes mistakes all the time. So does everyone else. But right now, there is no question. There is a malaise, a laziness, a sadness, a woe is me, a hang my head and cry type feel about this team. The body language is putrid. They don't have their heads in the game. The minute something goes wrong, they feel like, oh, here we go. That falls to the manager. No doubt. No doubt. I just can't take that he's been terrible from day one stuff. I just can't. I can't. But right now, they are going through a real tough stretch, and he's got no answers. Whatever he's doing, whether it's protecting them publicly and getting on them privately or protecting them privately as well, whatever he's doing, the team is not responding. Because they're, even with the depleted team and some of the guys in the lineup not performing well, they're better than this. They're better than this. And the way Grisham attacked that ground base set up the middle is unacceptable. The way Volpe didn't run the ball out is unacceptable. DJ LeMahieu not recognizing he needs to get into a rundown is unacceptable. I mean, the Yankees just did it. Judge and Soto just had that exact play and stole a run. Like, wake up. When you're playing this awful, you can't be stupid too. And they've been stupid. And that falls at the manager, 100%. And if I wake up to the news, whenever I wake up today, if I wake up to the news, if I turn on the radio and BT and Sal or Evan and Tiki are talking about how the Yankees fired Boone, you ain't gonna hear me complain. You ain't gonna hear me complain. It's been that bad. I don't think he's the cause of all their problems, but right now he's got no answers. Chris in Seagirt, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hi. I've been listening, and you said earlier how the Yankees are crybabies.
Yes.
I think who really crybabies, and I'm a Mets fan, so I want to make that clear. You know who's crybabies? Yankee fans.
Oh, totally.
You guys are the biggest bunch of crybabies. Did you ever see the movie Kelly's Heroes? Ever hear about that?
I've heard about it because I did a thing on, it doesn't matter, on Donald Sutherland. He was in that, I believe, right?
Yeah, he played this character. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm getting to. He played this character, Oddball, Sergeant Oddball, probably one of the best characters in the history of movie, my opinion.
Oh, sure.
Well, he had Gavin McLeod is this guy, Moriarty, who is just negative. So here's Sergeant Oddball said to him, enough with them negative waves. Why don't you say something righteous and hopeful for a change? And, I mean, you Yankee fans, you are whiny babies. You've had success for so long. A Met fan, we're like the state of New Jersey. We always got a chip on our shoulder when we have to deal with
Yankees. Yeah, I know. Yankee Met fans are always so positive. Every Met fan I've met has just been nothing but a positive, you know, very optimistic Met fan. I can tell you that right now. Every Met fan I talk to, they can't wait for next year. The Mets are going to be great every year. And when things are going bad, ooh, the Met fans, they never complain. They just, you know, they just bite their lower lip and hang on for dear life, and they know things will turn around. Having said that, after my sarcastic rant about how, you know, every Met fan I know hates themselves, and wishes to God they would make their children Yankee fans, that's almost verbatim of every Met fan I talk to. Why would I put my family through this? You're not wrong about Yankee fans. They're crybabies. Totally agree. That's why I'm the Cashman defender. That's why I get the moniker I've gotten. I've worked hard for this moniker. And the reason I got it is because Yankee fans cry like they're some sort of losing franchise when they're a winning franchise. Now, they haven't won a championship and no one's saying it's good enough. But yeah, totally agree. Yankee fans cry. And I'm here crying right now. They're 18 games over 500. You're right. If the Yankees and the Mets are in the same division, the Yankees would have a 9-game lead over the Mets. That's real. That's fair. That's a season. The games the Yankees won counted just as much as the games the Yankees have lost. But watching what's going on is disgusting. And as long as I have this microphone, I'm going to cry when it needs to be cried. I'm going to whine when I need to whine. And then I'll get on the cries and the whiners when I need to. And I'll hang up on people who don't know what they're talking about. Craig and Matawan, what's up, Craig?
Hey, see, Matt, good to hear you, man. Love the show.
Thank you, buddy. Listen, good to hear from you.
I'm a Met fan, but I'm not delusional like some Met fans. First of all, that guy, what he's saying, listen, every Met fan complains, man.
Ugh.
At the end of the day, the Yankees are having a bad month. It could be more than that. You got to understand one thing. Other than Judge and Soto, that lineup is not very good at all, to be honest with you. I mean, and
it's minus Giancarlo Stanton that led them to have the most runs in the American League. Like they were leading the league in runs scored. So while I agree with you that certainly the lineup outside of Judge and Soto, and that was during April when Judge did nothing. They found ways to score runs. Volpe was good to start the year. Verdugo was impactful to start the year. These guys are terrible now. Now you look at it and go, oh, where else are they getting anything from? A month ago, I could point to three guys where they were getting it from. Now they're not. But I think that will pass. I expect Volpe to turn out of this somehow or another. I expect Verdugo to give me some sort of season the rest of the way. What needs to change is the attitude. And what needs to change is the lackluster style of baseball they're playing. Because it's moping. That's what it feels like. It feels like their heads aren't in the game because it's woe is me crap. From Rodon to LeMahieu and everybody else. Oh, we're stinking right now. Get it going. And hopefully it'll start tomorrow. And the Mets continue their series against Pittsburgh today at 12:30. Hopefully they can take another series and head home for an important Washington series and trying to establish the need to add to this team. That's right, Stearns, add. That's it for me. I'll catch you tomorrow at midnight. I'm out of here. Later. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFNU.